Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So the Super Bowl is in Minnesota. How many of you know that lovely weather that's up in Minnesota? How many of you have ever visited Minnesota? How many of you said, I don't ever want to go back to Minnesota? How many? Let's see. Sue, you come from even further north? There you go, the Upper Peninsula.
Well, I went to school in St. Paul. I went to seminary up there, and
I would go up in June and January. Most of my classes were online, but we had intensive study up there. And January is cold, yes?
Yes.
Cold. Now, I enjoyed it only because I only had to be there for 2 weeks. Yeah, I see the heads like, yeah. So it was really quite lovely. The earth went to sleep. Right? There's the bare trees, there's the snow on the ground, you have this bluish glow in the evening, you know what I'm talking about? So it looks absolutely lovely until, of course, you go out in it. And one of the things that I noticed about Minnesotans, did I say that properly? Minnesotans, is that they don't stay indoors. They are out and about, and I'm not talking just, families without kids. I'm talking kids. I'm talking little infants. I mean, they zip them up in these things and take them out, and the restaurants are crowded, and I was really surprised that life continues on. Mission work continues on. My goodness, every conference room that was available at Luther Seminary was taken in the evening, and people would come out and gather. Now, one Friday night, it was bitter cold, and we had decided as a group we were going to stay in, but we were going to knit. We were going to make Norwegian mittens. Now, I want to show you this. This is about as far as I got. And I want to tell you that this has got to be easily, how many years ago? 10? This is as far as I got every good intention of completing it. And I had my pattern, and I learned how to follow my pattern, and we were going to have a wonderful evening, all of us together. We were going to, my one friend was going to make Minnesota wild rice soup. My other friend, who not only goes out, hunts the elk, but then creates the brats that he makes the elk out of. So he brought all that. He was lit a fire outside. There's a flaming grill going on. Everybody's getting ready. We are going to watch the Sue Gopher game. Now, I'm from New York, so my first question was, who is Sue Gopher, and what is this game about? Do I hear laughter out there? Because probably many of you may know that the Sue and the Gopher are the teams for North Dakota and Minnesota. It's the hockey team. So they all were hysterical laughing because it's the Sioux versus the Gophers. And I thought Sue Gopher was a woman and we were going to watch some type of a television show. So we sat down together. I had been doing my knitting. We're having, dinner together, all of us. The Sioux Gopher game is on, and Minnesotans love their hockey, as do many others of us. And as I took my first sip of soup, I said, excuse me, I'll be back. I went up to my room, and I proceeded to throw up for 12 straight hours. Now, it wasn't the soup that I had eaten. What happened, it was immediately I spiked a fever, and something hit me. Something hit me awfully hard. You know when you just want your mommy? That's how I felt. I wanted somebody to hold my hair back. I wanted somebody to rub my back and say, you're going to be all right. I never felt so alone in my life. My friends knew immediately something happened. Obviously, they came to check on me, and I just heard, are you okay? And they heard my response. Nothing in words. Food was dropped at my door the next few days. Notes were filled out, prayers posted on my door, and I saw that when I would go out to use the bathroom.
And when I would come back, there they were. But you know, when I went out of that room, I didn't see anybody. I didn't hear anybody. It's like they knew I was coming out. I was weak. I was miserable. Every inch of my body ached. I was probably curled up in the fetal position, and I had the chills that my teeth were chattering. You know, when I went into that bathroom, I knew people existed in that dorm room because I could smell that chlorine. Every time I went in there and I came out, they wiped the entire place down. As a matter of fact, that became my own personal shower and bathroom, even though it was shared. You know, all I wanted was to be with the group. That's all I wanted. I wanted to get back to class. I wanted to write my papers. I wanted homework. How crazy does that sound? That Monday was Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and we were all going to march, and we were going to participate in service projects. I wanted to do that. I longed to do that. We all know what it's like when the flu is running rampant now. We do whatever we can to avoid it, because we know what it feels like when we get it. We don't want to touch each other, do we? We don't want to go out. We're wiping everything down. We're hand sanitizing everything. What I discovered that I had was the norovirus. Anybody here ever have the norovirus? Yeah. You feel like you're near death. Monday morning, after 2 days, I got up. I was like, I can do this. I took a shower. I stripped my bed. I gathered all my clothing. And I went down 3 flights of stairs into the basement to do my laundry. And while I was gone, my friends, they're like mice, came into my room, sanitized my entire room, and put up these, you know, strips of affirmations on the wall. Jesus loves you, be healed, you know, all those like things that you can peel off and put on the wall. And they were all over. And then when I got back up to my room, they were all in there. But I didn't really have, meaning the things, not the people. But I didn't have a chance to really appreciate that, because my last flight up the stairs, I was literally crawling on my hands and knees and crawled back into my room and threw myself on the bed, like just like this, and didn't even close the door. One of my friends walked by, looked in and said, "Oh my gosh," ran in just to kind of poke me and make sure that I really was still alive. And when she found out I was, she's like, "Oh, thank goodness," ran out the door and shut the door behind. It's very lonely when we're sick like that, isn't it? We understand when someone stays away, but it doesn't mean that it gets any easier. Simon's mother-in-law is in bed. And she has a raging fever. I mean, she is really sick. We don't know what kind of an illness she had. We don't know whether or not it was contagious. We don't know if the people who were around her were afraid of catching it. We don't know what the diseases were other than leprosy, but that would cause such a high fever that she had. We don't know how she was feeling. We don't know what she was thinking, but we can each relate to this woman, both men and women, that sick feeling that you get like you're going to die. Jesus comes into the house. Now, he just cast out a demon, an unclean spirit, in the synagogue. And immediately following that, Jesus comes to Simon Peter's house. And when he comes in, they tell Jesus about Simon's mother-in-law. You know, I find it interesting that we don't know why they told Jesus about her. Did they tell him because they said, "Go heal her"? You know, this is the first time he's healed somebody, is the man in the synagogue. So is that the reason why they told Jesus? Or did they tell Jesus as a warning, "Stay away"? We don't know. She's sick. Go elsewhere. But what we do know is this. We know what Jesus doesn't do. Jesus doesn't say, I've got too much to do. I'm not going to risk it getting sick. I've got, you know, I'm on a mission here. And I'm not going to make myself vulnerable and possibly get what this woman has. No, we know Jesus doesn't do that. What we know is what Jesus does. Jesus goes to her exactly where she is. She is incapable of going to Jesus and say, heal me. Instead, Jesus goes to her. Jesus touches her. He takes her hand. Because you know what? She can't lift it to him. So he lifts up her hand to him. He raises her up. He lifts her up. And he brings her immediately back to life. This same Greek word in the raising up, the lifting up, is the word that's used at the resurrection. She is resurrected. And that's exactly what Jesus does for each and every single one of us. We've all had our near-death experiences. For some, these experiences are physical. For some, it is emotional. And for some, it is spiritual. But we each have had these instances in our lives. And each of us have been brought back from those times. And we have been restored. But each one of us have been restored for a purpose. We've been restored to follow. We've been restored to discipleship, and we have been restored to serve, just like Simon's mother-in-law. For me, at that seminary, at that January term, that J term, I was restored so that I could continue in the service that I was called to do. At that time, I was 51 years old. I had started to answer the call that God had been giving me for quite a while. I'd been restored to follow and serve. I'd been restored to get back to my classes. I'd been restored for the purpose of serving others. For Simon Peter's mother-in-law, her restoration was also in serving. And that particular Greek word is that Greek word where we serve each other, not because it's what we have to do, but it's because it's what we're called to do. Jesus hears our cries for help. The times when we cry out in pain and in anguish, whether that is a physical pain, an emotional pain, or a spiritual pain. The times when we don't feel Christ because we're so sick. When we don't hear Jesus say, come and see me. When we don't hear Jesus say, come and hear me. And instead we cry out, come and touch me, Lord. Come and heal me, Lord. And you know what? We have a God who does just that. We have a God who comes to us and touches us. We have a God who comes to us and heals us, who takes our hand when we can't lift it up and says, come on up. Stand. We have a God who comes and raises us up so that we can follow and so that we can serve. That is an amazing God. We can't come to God. And I'm going to tell you something. There's never an instant when we can come to God. It is always God who comes to us. It is always God who takes our hand. It is always God who who lifts us up, restores us to life, so that we can go and serve. Amen.